Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I'm your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my dude Goose, aka Bolt Scripted, and we are here to recap it was just a wonderful fucking game, really. It was just great. We're here to recap the Chicago Bulls overtime loss to the Denver Nuggets, 131-127. Before we do that, be sure to go on tapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at On Tap Sportsnet, following Goose at Bull Scripted, and following me at Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you could listen to us, 5-star rating and review, because that's cool and tough. God! Dude, come on! For real?
I am so glad that I'm not a betting man, because that is like two nights in a row that I probably would have bet with my heart and been like, you know what? Yeah, we're going to beat the Spurs. You know what? Coming off that Spurs win loss, we're gonna come out tonight. We're going to get this dub, and it looked like it until, I guess, the last minute of the game, because we had it pretty well in hand. God. And Billy wanted it bad, man. He literally had Pat, Lowry, and Wendell all on the bench. All three of them. Kobe was the only one that was out there, and that's because his shot was on.
They all wanted it, and it's just the turnovers again. And it's just
Zach got pickpocketed by the second coming of JJ Barea, son of a bitch. Wendell failed to score on JJ Barea's second cousin. Oh my God, I can't do this, man. Like, it sucks being in the middle and having to watch this, because you don't know where you're going. You don't know, like, why are we suffering this? Like, why are we this close? Because it's been this way all year. We've either had a lead or we've been in these extremely close games. So there is fucking improvement. But it hurts so bad because this is stupid. This should not happen.
We should be
20-20. We should be 500 right now. Right now.
I think I realized that I talked a bunch of shit when I said that. I was like, oh, I'm cool with these one-point losses, man, as long as I see development. I was full of shit. I'm a fucking liar. I'm a liar is what I am.
I'm a bold-faced liar too, man. Oh, God. I'll never suggest such a thing again. This hurts.
I'm sitting here. I'm watching the fucking Bulls start losing this lead. I watched the Sox up 5-1. It's now 6-5 for the Mariners. So, like, my teams are starting to lose. And I'm just like, I've been drinking heavily all night because I am waiting my potential matchup with our buddy Summer of George and a little tourney that's going on, a White Sox Twitter tourney that's going on right now. And, I'm just like, God, it just won't stop, man. Like, it's coming from every fucking angle. And where I'm so irritated tonight with the Bulls, Denver played a bad game. Like, and that's what people like. The Bulls were playing good, but Denver was playing bad, and your foot was on their fucking necks, and it was crushing that shit. And then they just kept letting them come back, and they were going on these little runs, and the Bulls couldn't stop them, and it was just happening and happening and happening. And I'm like, dude, okay, yeah, that's dope. We're going to lose this fucking lead. Then we get to the fourth quarter, and I know we're jumping all around. I'm going to the fucking first or the fourth, whatever. And we get to the fourth quarter, and I knew as soon as Porter Jr. fucking – got that dunk on the fucking outlet pass from Jokic, I'm like, it's fucking wrap. That's a wrap.
That Kobe foul too. The flagrant 4 points. I think I got 5 points off that possession. Like, because I got the ball back. They got a technical. They got 3 free throws. And then they got the ball. Like, oh my, what are we doing?
Like, I sit here and I try to think to myself, what could they have done different? And one thing that pisses me off so bad about this game is you had so many opportunities where Denver had switched and you could pound the ball on the inside. And it just, it was like there was fucking butter on the basketball. I felt like every time they got it in the paint, it was a turnover.
It was the altitude. They were sweating more. There was butter on the basketball.
I mean, it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. It's not. And it's just crazy. And I know that Denver's a good team, and I know that they're a better team than us. But when you're up like that, dude, you cannot afford for that to happen. The largest lead of the night for the Bulls was 15 fucking points.
I am going to start live betting the opposing team when the Bulls have a lead over 10 points.
Well, you'll be a fucking millionaire by the end of the season then.
So. I know. I'm just going to fucking happen. I'm either going to cry because I'm losing money and still be happy that the Bulls won, or they're going to lose and I'm going to make money. So I can't like completely lose there. It's a win-lose situation either way, but fuck, man. Every time we do a podcast, I look down at the date on my computer. 3/19. You got 5 days, boys. 5 days. Who knows if you're going to be here? I tweeted post-game. Lowry is smiling. He looked all happy. You know, they're talking to him post-game. He's like, no, I feel comfortable. You know, if I had any concerns, I could go talk to Arturis. I don't think I have to do that, though. So he feels comfortable. I don't know. I don't know, man. What the fuck? They got to do something. I don't know how you can just sit here and be okay with the middle of the middle. You either got to be just good enough to get in the playoffs or bad enough to where you're not going to be picking, you know, 10 to 12 because you're not in the play-in either. You're not getting anything exciting. You're just getting the shittiest stick possible.
Zach started off extremely not Zach LaVine tonight, though he finished Zach LaVine tonight. And I know it sounds crazy to say because he shot 50% from the field. He went 3 for 9 from downtown, though. Lowry started off real well, 2 for 2 from 3-point range, and then that went away.
And he was actually being aggressive in the post tonight too.
Dude, he had 11 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists.
Lowry had 6
assists. Oh, I'm so sorry. I was looking at the fucking Thad Young's box score. I'm sorry. He had 10 points. What? Yeah, I'm sorry about that. 10 points, 2 boards, 2 assists for Lowry. And then Thad played a Thad game, 11, 10, and 6. But Otto Porter Jr. played his best game as a Bull, I feel like.
When he first got here that February, he had better games. But
well, right, dude, but he was keeping us in a close game. He was keeping us in a game with a really good team. And then Ryan Arcidiacono tonight played a really good game. Like, you got it from your bench, too. Like, you got it from your bench when we had a topic of conversation last game about, like, how the bench is kind of, because that and Sato had moved away from it. And we're like, I wonder what's going to happen here with that. I don't know, bro. It's just they can't.
Give me death at right. this point. That's something's pretty much what here. It is, man. If you're not going to go get me a star, you got to get me Lonzo Ball at this trade deadline.
We ain't getting a start. The trade deadline's for damn sure. That ain't happening.
I mean, probably not. I mean, all things are quiet on that front. Nobody's requesting trades. So I don't think you get a De'Aaron Fox or a Karl Anthony Towns, even though their teams are extremely poor in a conference that they might not ever be good enough in their players' primes. But, you know, maybe that window comes in the offseason on draft night or something like that. So that's not happening at the deadline. But Lonzo Ball, that's something you could do. And I think there's a lot of avenues on how you could get there. You have reports that it's the Clippers that are interested. They don't have any firsts. They traded all their firsts and all their swaps and all their seconds. They've traded everything. So they don't have much left. So I can't imagine they have a better offer than the Bulls.
They probably don't. I mean, it's just when I sit
phone.
When I sit and think about this shit, dude, like, for real, look at Kendall looks defeated right now in the post game they're doing on NBC Sports Chicago, and Stacey's frustration tonight with the ball turning over so much. I mean, the Bulls had 18 turnovers tonight.
What was our field goal percentage? Do we shoot over 50% again?
We shot 52.2% from the field, and this is the kicker. We shot 48.6% from downtown tonight.
That tells me we did that in San Antonio too. You need a fucking point guard, because a lot of the issues that, and I love to complain about Wendell Carter Jr. and I like making jokes about when he can't finish on guys that are my height, but if you get these guys a point guard, you'll have more opportunities. They won't be scared when they get the ball in the post the one or two times that they have it in the game, because nobody found them down there prior. There's a lot of times where you're seeing Lowry and Wendell flash to the hole, and they're down there. Oh, they're standing there just like waving their arms. They can dance, and nobody gets them the ball. And nobody even realizes it until they're into the paint for 3 seconds, and then they got to get the hell out of there. So I get a point guard doesn't fix all of our issues because we need a point guard, we need a perimeter defender on the wing, and we need a true center. So there's no way they're going to get all that at the deadline, but we got to see some kind of decisions made here.
I think you're getting to that point. I really do, because like you had pointed out in the beginning of the podcast, that Billy really wanted this win. Billy had the vets in a lot, you know, and was trying to find a way to get this W, and it just didn't work out that way. And in the grand scheme of things, you're really starting to see, I'm not going to say the team's unfolding, but you're really starting to see that the talent that is placed together on this team isn't going to be able to get over said hump of what you want to get over. Cause the goal every year should be a championship. And that's, and I stand by that, but it coming into a new team like Billy has, and Artturis and Mark Eversley coming into a franchise like this, that was kind of in shambles, excuse me. And all tastes like Thai food. I had Thai food for dinner tonight. It was kind of spicy, actually, a little bit of fucking acid reflux there. It hurt. But you know, I mean, it's
get at us, Pepto.
Yeah, dude, I need some Pepto Bismol, man. I need that, or what? What are those little things you put in the fucking Humps, water? Alka-Seltzer, or some shit. Alka-Seltzer. Yeah,
let's get them all, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna take like all Pokemon, of them.
Got to catch them all.
Yeah, I gotta catch them all, man. But yeah, I feel like you're gonna see something at this point. I'm not sure what it's going to be. I wonder if they capitalize off of whatever value is there for Lauri Markkanen. I wonder if they capitalize off of the value around the league for Thad Young on contending squads. I don't know what they're going to do, but it's, I do believe now more than ever it's going to be something, especially with these last two losses. I mean, you get a lead. I mean, you're jumping out and you cannot sustain it. So to me, I'm not blaming, obviously I'll never blame the vets for this, but to me, it's obviously that the vets aren't really helping in that aspect of things, because not because of their flaws or their insufficiencies in trying to help the team. It's because the guys that are there just don't fit together and it doesn't work. And that's something that is concerning moving forward if they don't make a move. But again, I am pretty confident they're going to make a move. I think something's going to happen sooner rather than later with this squad. And it is what it is. I mean, the way they came out tonight and played with the starters was great. And then the bench comes in. I mean, at one point it was like 50 points for the starters, 48 points for the bench. I mean, it was absolutely amazing the way that they were playing ball. And, you know, Wendell came out. I mean, just.
No, that dunk, he hesitated. He got the ball kind of on the high post. He thought about it. He was like, do I kick this back out? Do I try to post him up? What do I do? And then he got out of his fucking head. And we saw the nicest move that we've seen from Wendell all year to start the game. And he followed it up with the top of the key three. So I think, you know, you danced around it a little bit. I mean, if that is technically the hottest available commodity on the trade market, because there isn't going to be stars, how do you not trade him when you're losing games like this? Because what you danced around was ultimately that, yeah, the veterans are good. They're the reason why we're in these games, but they're still not good enough to win these games. So they're not helping us. That, you know, they're making us feel like we're there and we're special and we're important and we can do this, but they're also not going to be here to hold our hand long term. So if you have a player on your team that is considered the hottest trade commodity on the market around the league and you're losing games, well, I mean, I think you've got to make that move.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I like I said, I'm just so kind of, well, in shock on how that went down.
No, I mean, I'm in shock how that went down too. But let me look at it this way. What did we just see from Otto Porter Jr.? He looked like he could probably contribute just as much, if not more than that. He's on a giant expiring contract. Trading him is going to be a lot harder without taking salary back. Now, that's the opposite. You trade that, he's owed $14 million next year. If you can get positive assets and open up cap, that's a move that you got to fucking chew on real heavy if you're AK.
And I've told you, I've been in this group, Bulls group chat with some friends and, you know, through Twitter that I've met, and they pretty much, that whole group chat pretty much believes that they should be moving Thad for assets and whatnot. As far as Otto Porter Jr. statement is, we know what Otto can do when he's healthy, and we've seen it before, even with his time in Washington. It's just the consistency factor with him. But that comes down to picking a lane on what you think you are and what you can actually be. And where they're at right now is on the outside looking in on a play-in opportunity for the playoffs. Not the playoff, a play-in opportunity for the playoffs. And then on top of that, you're sitting at the bottom of the standings where you don't know what's the fucking move, man. Like, do you want to go in this loaded draft class? I'm sure they're paying attention to the tourney right now. You know, I mean,
loaded draft or participation trophy of being in the play-in?
I would like to say, honestly, I told you this in prior episodes. I'm at the point now. I said it with you on Fred on the Knights of the Round Ball table. I am at a point where the draft is so deep. And even Joe said it when he was on the show. Joe Colley from Sun Times said it when he was with us. You know, this draft is so deep, and if you're able to free up some dough and you have Zach LaVine here who can attract people to come and play with him, you might be sitting in a better spot for the long term, because I'm not all about getting into a play-in with this core, if you will. I put air quotes around that if you're just listening to the podcast version, not watching us live on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. But I'm not all about, like, I mean, close but no cigar shit. And that's where they're at. And they have to figure a lot out. This game was very telling. This game was, I mean, Denver, like I said, played a fucking bad game. They played really bad. The Bulls played well in the beginning, and then they lost it. And it's just, that is a story that is told time and time again, or has been told time and time again throughout this season that we've had. It close but no cigar. And, you know, do what you got to do, man. Like, that's why we don't get paid the big bucks to make these decisions. We're just on the outside looking in kind of guys who just like to crack some beers, drink some whiskey, watch the game. But where I'm at right now is fuck it. I know I got Zach. I know he's an all-star. I know he's ascending. I know he's getting better. You know, needs to get better defensively. He had a lot of points tonight where I was screaming at my fucking TV at him. But I know what he brings to the table, and I know what he can do on a bad game. He shot 50% from the field. Okay. Well,
on that note, what do you think? Zach is completely free. Like, there's no question at all, no debate amongst them at all about trading Zach. Because if you commit to trading Thad and you start breaking down this roster, from what I've read correctly, yeah, the Bulls can offer Zach an extension this offseason and forgo, you know, unrestricted free agency. But my understanding is Zach would have to leave money on the table to do that. He could get more money from the Bulls if he waits until unrestricted free agency than he could get. So maybe Zach's desire to be here, to be the face of a franchise like the Bulls, and you know, the endorsement opportunities that come with that, which Joe also talked to us about in regards to Butler, maybe those things factor into him taking that extension. But if you're trading away pieces without getting stuff that clearly show him it's to build around him, you might run into a situation where you could lose Zach in unrestricted free agency if you don't play your hands right around him. So do you think, it's hard to think 6 days. And they're saying in the media, like, if players had concerns, they'd know what's going on. Like, I don't know. I think we'd know if Zach was going. But at the same time, I think about it, and it's like, if you're sellers, don't you have to be sellers on everything?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, what's on the table and what's not on the table? And again, it's a good point that you bring up. I guess I, in my own mind, classify Zach as being untouchable because of – it could be the Homer in me. I mean, which is fair.
And I'm there with you, but I'm saying from an organizational standpoint, are they having that conversation still? Or are they, that's just now, we don't have to talk about that. We'll worry about Zach's extension come the off season. We'll worry about, you know, getting Zach the money that he's earned at a later date. Right now, Zach isn't even on our mind.
I'll tell you what, it'd be a bad look. I think it'd be a bad look for the organization if they move Zach LaVine after how he speaks so highly of the city, him only being 25 years old, him being a guy who's 28-5-5, I mean, having a historic offensive season, first-time All-Star. I think that that would be a very, very bad look for the Chicago Bulls' new front office. If they did that, I think it would keep the same fucking stigma around that has been here for the last 20 years.
Yeah. So
that's my opinion on that.
I think I'm right there with you. He's got to be off the books. Entirely. So then it's just, what moves can they make while still improving the roster a little bit short term, or, you know, that drop off not being that steep by getting rid of some of these veterans and getting younger pieces in here. Or I'm glad that we're not them. Like, I'm glad that we just get to bullshit about it, because these next 6 days are going to be hell for them.
And that's what I mean about that too. It's like why I started, if you remember when you first met me 3 years ago, like I didn't really criticize Garpacks too much because I like some of the picks that they made, you know, and I kind of understood the stigma of how the NBA was, or it's not even a perception. It's a reality of superstars wanting to play together where you can make it work, where you can't make it work. And yeah, there was some loyalty within the Bulls. You know, they wanted to keep some players around, and that's why Bosch wasn't on the table. I think they probably knew about that before the whole Wade and LeBron thing happened with them going to Miami and all that other bullshit. But at the same time, I started to get really irritated because of some of the moves they would make and how they would carry themselves and shit like that. So that's when I started criticizing. So I you know, in this infancy of the new front office, I don't want to be them. I wouldn't want to be them right now. Of course, I would love to work for the Bulls and I would love that job. But my God, the stress that would come with it, especially in a situation like this where you don't really know what you have and you're starting to finally see a good head coach, a very, very good head coach, not be able to get these close victories that, you know, on his track record, he has been able to before. Granted, better talent, MVP on a squad as he was doing it.
I mean, we worked with Otto Porter Jr. and Thaddeus Young at the 4-5 tonight. Yeah. Like, what does that say about your roster? I mean, and I guess, like...
Well, I mean, Zach sat for fucking 10 straight minutes tonight. Did you realize that? He sat for 10 fucking minutes in a row tonight. 10 minutes. Our best player wasn't on the court.
What was our lead, though? I mean, if you're winning the game...
At the time, I think it was floating around that, like, 14 to, like, 9 range.
I mean, if you're floating in that range and you're holding that steady, I mean, we do have a lot of games.
And I understand that. But I like I said, foot on the throat mentality.
That is a little crazy.
Yeah, I just thought like a foot on the throat mentality personally because of the fucking loss we just suffered the other night.
Well, and then I guess to piggyback on my Thad and Otto for, you know, finishing the game at power forward and center for us, we have 4 centers. Technical centers, 5 if you include Lowry. We have 4 technical centers plus Lowry Markkanen on our roster, and none of them are on the floor to finish the game or overtime. If we're serious about winning, how can you have, you know, that many big guys that can't do big things when you need big things fucking done?
Yeah, it's going to need an overhaul in the big department. That's for sure.
Like that blows my mind. And I get the league is trending small and offensive and fast paced and transition oriented and all that good stuff. But you have Nikola Jokic cooking Thad Young in his 1,001st game of his career, playing an MVP caliber guy. Like that's great. I love him. But that's a lot to fucking ask. So I don't know. We got to do something.
Yeah, there's a couple things too that I just kind of, you know, I kind of questioned as well. Like there was a couple few matchups that were played tonight that I didn't really fully understand. It's like when you had like Jokic in, and then you had like Michael Porter Jr., and then you matched up Thad, and it was Lowry against them. You know, I didn't really get that, but I think he was just trying to find a lineup that might be able to spark and might be able to work and might be able to do something of significance to not lose this game. And he just said in his presser, I have the little subtitles up or whatever, you know, it can't be self-inflicted wounds on a regular basis. Well,
it is.
So it,
consistent, you know, every game we're talking about, man, we shot the ball real well. We actually didn't get out rebounded that much considering, you know, the size of the lineups that we're running. We shot great from 3. We can score the ball. Our defense doesn't look that bad, but we fucking turn the ball over so much that we can't win games.
Yeah, I I don't know, man. This was a hard one. This was a hard pill to swallow. You know, even Jokic, I mean, he started off so slow. I don't think he scored till the second quarter. I mean, and then he just finishes a game fucking almost with a trip dub, 34-15-9 for him. Well, Michael Porter Jr. can just fucking score too, dude.
AK and Jokic were talking before the game, so I'm just going
to – Jokic to the Bulls, confirmed.
Yep, I'm just going to have fantasies of that happening and sleep tight, and Jokic is coming to Chicago. And Zach and Jokic are going to win ring number 7, and life's going to be grand, you know?
Yeah, keep dreaming, my brother. That's all we could do. That's all we could do at this point. Before we move into the next game, everybody who's listening to this podcast, if you are a fan of betting, if you like betting on sports, the NCAA tournament is here. If you live in Illinois or Iowa, go to betrivers.com. Use promo code ONTAP. They will match up to $250 with a deposit if you use that promo code ONTAP. So make sure you guys go ahead and head over there and do that. Again, betrivers.com, promo code ONTAP. They'll match up to $250. So you can bet and win some money on these games. A lot of upsets today, but hey, you know, give it a shot. Next game.
Tap in.
Yeah.
Have you heard that stupid song?
I have, yeah. I have.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm sorry I brought it up, but it seemed fitting. You know?
Oh, no, it was totally fitting. It was fitting for the moment, that's for sure. Sunday, we play Detroit, 6 p.m. Any thoughts on that game? Or just fucking win, baby, win. They're 12-29, so.
I don't know if I want to win anymore. That's the issue we're getting to. It's like, well, they're 12-29. We got 18 wins. Is there a way we can catch Detroit down there at the bottom and get into the top 5? Is that possible? Do I want to drop this game? Do I want to leave with 18 wins and Detroit having 13? Because then I close that gap pretty good. So I don't know. I really, as much as I don't want to be Mark or AK, I wish I was sitting in the room so I knew what the fuck was going on so I could give you an answer on what I want in the Detroit game. I guess just win, baby, win. We'll ride with that because I really thought we were done rooting for losses, but we're sniffing around that area again, and I don't know, man. I haven't pulled up Tankathon yet this year, but I'm getting pretty fucking close.
It's all very sad, really. It's just all a real bad time. You know, hopefully we have something better to talk about in the next game. I don't know if we will or not, but I mean, these two losses from behind, you know, from the opponent coming from behind is just absolutely fucking deflating for what we're trying to do here. And I'm like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm a fucking liar because I said that I would totally take losses of 1 point if there's development. But when you're up so big and you blow it, it's no bueno, man. No fucking bueno.
Well, and if we feel like this, how do the players feel, man?
Because I'm sure they're defeated. They gotta be defeated. I'm a fucking nobody sitting on a couch in a basement that's unfinished, but it got all my shit down here, and I feel like I could take a goddamn toaster bath right now. Like, that's how I feel right now. I could, you know, like I told you.
I'm in the closest dispensary to the Denver Arena, and I am getting some good stuff to chill.
Getting that ganj, bro. Okay, I dig it. I dig it. I mean, like I told you, I'm sitting here, watch that happen, watch the Sox start fucking losing. Oh, man, it's not a great night for Chicago sports besides the Illini and Loyola Chicago winning in the tourney today.
Jerry Reinsdorf.
Yeah, no shit, dude. I mean, can like you know how like it's so funny to me sometimes, like when you're talking to other Chicago fans, right? And you know, they'll be like, "Oh yeah, so you're a Sox and a Bulls fan?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, man, yeah, for sure. You know, those are my teams. Dig them. Always, I'll ride with them." And they're like, "What the fuck happened to you?" I'm like, "What do you mean? What do you mean? What happened to me, man? You're the fucking Jerry Reinsdorf teams. Do you like torture? Is that what you're into? A little SM? You like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you like getting fucked like that? Is that it?" It's like, "Oh yeah." Yeah, I know. I got
vulgar. Yeah, you got some deep, brutal conversations going on with people about your fandom,
dude. I don't get it. My mind's going to these terrible places right now because it's just I am so upset. Button for punishment,
but man, if that's your kink, I mean, go for it.
Yeah, I sit there and get whipped by a hologram Jerry Reinsdorf as I watch his fucking teams just rip my goddamn heart out is basically what I do. I just sit there and take it.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap, everybody. I buzzes off the fucking hinges here. I'm pissed off. I'm pissed off getting vulgar and the whole nine. But yeah, so we'll be back Sunday. Bulls play at 6 p.m., which is great because we don't have to do these late, 11:20 podcasts at night when normal people are probably going to sleep because they gave up on the Bulls at the end of the fourth quarter, but we stuck through it because we're morons. So
I'm not normal people. I'm in my element at night, so it doesn't bother me, but you're a hardworking man. So,
well, I got over that hump, man. Like as soon as it hit like 9:30 and I got Ren down to bed because she stayed up a little bit later tonight, I feel fine. I'm over that hump. I'm probably going to hop on a White Sox Zoom call with.
When you think your favorite team is about to beat your new VP's old team in their house for the first time since 2006. This would have been the second time we beat the Nuggets in Denver since Michael Jordan left. That's how good that would have felt, and we pissed it away.
Yeah, like I got McNuggeted. Last time we lost, that's what I put in our podcast title. Bulls got McNuggeted. I don't know what the fuck. I mean, I don't know what the fuck you'd call this one tonight. I don't have a fun name for it. I think I'm just going to put pain as the title. Just fucking pain. It's like literally I'm in physical pain after watching that. I can keep going all day about like how much I am pissed off right now. I don't have faith in anybody on this team besides Zach LaVine right now. I really don't. And I've said this before. I don't know if Zach could be a true one, but I have faith in him that he can keep us in games. And if you get some good players around him, that I think he could really do some damage with him. Like right now, I've completely lost faith in everybody. I really have. I just.
AK's coming into the locker room and just telling everybody, you're on the block. You're on the block. You're on the block. You're on the block. You're on the block.
Well, I wonder if that does happen because of the bluntness of Billy Donovan and AK. I wonder if that does happen. I mean, not in those words, but him going in there and be like, yo, what the fuck was that, dude? Like, what are you doing?
And maybe they'll all just wake up with an email tomorrow morning like, hey, AK's office this time tomorrow. AK's office this time tomorrow. AK's office. And he's just going to sit down with them and tell them what it is. Hey, we are 18-22. We're dropping a lot of games that we should win. We're right here in this mix. We're either making a small push forward and you might be a part of a small deal that, gets us to that point, or we might be sellers and you might be seen as somebody that can contribute to somebody else's team and you might be on your way out of here to greener pastures. But we'll know soon enough. That's I guess the one thing that gives me comfort is we'll know that clock's ticking. Maybe we got to wait till the off season, but I guess at least we'll know if we're stuck or not.
Pain. Fucking pain. All right, everybody, be sure to go on tap, sportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. You know where to follow us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, out on Tap Sportsnet, Goose at Bulls Scripted, me at Buzz on Tap. 5-star rating and review on the podcast. I'll throw this out. If you are a White Sox fan, go over to the Sox on Tap page. Click on the link below if you want a Tim Anderson jersey. Put your, just give a 5-star rating and review. Screenshot it. Follow Grandstand on Instagram. Follow Sox on Tap on Twitter. You can enter in to win a free Tim Anderson jersey and on Tap Sportsnet swag pack. We'll be back.
Free shit, free money. What about the ball clippers?
Oh, the ball clip. We did our 4 ad reads. We're good.
Oh, okay.
But if you want those too, go to manscaped.com. Okay. And use promo code on Tap Trim Your Balls.
The ball clippers anymore? Yeah. After that game, I might just want to like.
You called me morbid, motherfucker. What the fuck? I was going to say, I'm just going to let my shit go now. I don't need to look good anymore. My favorite team doesn't care about me. What do I need to look
just
fancy
just let
for?
Let it all go?
Yeah, fucking have ball hair down my...
Like Alex Caruso? Just look like a testicle?
Oh, God. All right.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
It should have been done 10 minutes ago.
Let's go, Bulls.